and pen it in your people's hearts, Father. And Father, that it will bring forth fruit. Unto righteousness, repentance, and salvation and fruitfulness, Father, in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord gave me this lesson when I was working at the post office, and it's called Labor, Rest, and Reward. So it was different from any other years at the post office. So when we walked in there, there was these, these little stalls that you go through when you check in your badges and stuff. And there was a lot of complaints and stuff. And then the other thing was, break time. So break time was 10 minutes. So, you know, I thought, wait a minute, that's against the law. It should be 15 minutes, you know. And so there was a lot of complaint, but then they, you know, showed us that in Colorado, I don't know what Colorado did this, but you can get a 10-minute break and be paid for it. So people were really upset about that. And so I remember hearing people's comments. This one man was saying, oh, this is like a prison. And just different things that people would comment about. And I remember going and walking towards the break room and thinking, well, I don't even know if I'm going to last a week. And because I was kind of like, But anyway, when I was walking towards the lunchroom, the Lord just laid upon my heart, because I felt like, when you're laboring, you get weary, you need rest and things like that. And then the scripture that God gave me was Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the Lord began just to, to speak to me about that. And I just want to share a few testimonies about just when I was growing up and working, and even some testimonies about working at the post office. So when I was in high school, I had an opportunity to go to a internship. And at that time, I wanted to be a lawyer. But I went to the courthouse and, you could listen to cases and things like that. But I thought it was kind of boring. So they transferred me to another internship. And at this internship, it was called the Education Opportunity Center. The director's name was Ron Young. And it was basically for veterans. And what they have, it was for veterans, and they would help them after they got out of the Army to either go to school or, be trained for different kinds of work and stuff like that. But one day, the director came to me and asked me to come into his office. And he basically confronted me about my attitude, because unknown to me, every time I walked into the building, I had an attitude. And so I was really grateful that he shared that with me, because he said, do you want to be here? Because it seemed like you got an attitude. And I don't know, why do you want, to go somewhere else? But I was grateful that he showed that to me, because I was able to change my attitude and my behavior about being able to go to that internship and really appreciate the things that the people did and the people that worked there. So, there was something that happened at the post office. I worked in a different section. I was working in the belt. And our supervisor, she sent people over to help us when we were pretty, you know, busy. Well, anyway, she sent two people over. One was to be on one side of the belt, and one was to be on the other side of the belt. And so here I'm working, you know, pulling boxes or, you know, putting placards up or something. Anyway, this person was just like on his phone, like. Then I asked him to take a pallet and, you know, take this pallet, put this box over here. And so he pretended like he was going to do it. But all of a sudden, I turned around. He was gone. Didn't see him. There was another young lady, another lady. She did the same thing. It was like, wait a minute. You get paid $30 an hour. You know, just why don't you just, you know, work? Anyway, but the same people that didn't want to do anything, they're complaining about, oh, well, they're going to send me home, or, you know, or they better make my money right, or, you know, it's just like all this, and they're not even doing anything, and they're trying to avoid work. And so it really irritated me. And I was thinking, I'm 16 years old, okay, and you're half my age, and you don't even want to pick up a pallet to move it, you know, and put a box, a cardboard box on it.
Come on.
And it was just like, what is wrong? I grew up in an era when adults asked you to do something, you did it. And I just need to clarify, in this generation, nothing hurtful or inappropriate or unethical. So if an adult tells you to do something inappropriate, unethical, or hurtful, you just don't do it without questioning why or talking back. Because we used to call it a 45-degree backhand. Boom! That's what my cousins and I, because that's what my mom would do, and my aunt, they'd give you a 45-degree backhand. So, I remember when I was in the car with my dad, and you know how when you're little, you sing songs from school and stuff like that. So I was just singing this song, and it had a bad word in it, but I kept on singing it. And I remember my dad told me, don't sing that song again. Now, mind you, I was in the back seat. But somehow, he didn't turn around. He didn't stop the car. Boom! And then I never sung that song again. Whether you're doing something good or bad, it all requires work. When I actually started teaching, it surprised me that students came to school without a pencil, a notebook, or anything to write with. They expected you to supply the pencils. When I went to school, you had a backpack, you had your textbooks, you had supplies, ready to take notes and cover the material presented. I would say more than half the students wouldn't do anything. They would ball up the paper and leave it on the floor for someone else to pick up. I remember one time I went to this school and the students were just so, I couldn't believe it, but they just wanted to wreck the classroom. So what I did, I took my cell phone out. I was taking pictures. I wanted to give it to the teacher, to let the teacher know what the students are doing. And it, I don't know, it was an administrator meeting, said, oh, you can't take pictures, you can't take. I said, okay, I'll delete it, but I wanted to show that teacher. If you're living at home with your parents, your job is to be respectful to your parents. Do what they say when they say it. Get an education, find a job. Do something to help out at home without your parents having to say something. Or your handout, always wanting something. Can your parents trust you to do something and get it done without murmuring and complaining with a good attitude? Yes, it's time for us to get to work. But some of us don't know how to work with integrity. Yes, young people, you will have supervisors who will treat you with disrespect, not speak to you kindly. Are you going to quit? I remember having a job. I used to work for Denver Public Schools in the kitchen, and I was like a rotating kitchen person that you would go to different kitchens when they were short. So I remember going to this one kitchen. I was signed there for about, oh, it seemed like a month, but it may have been shorter. But this kitchen manager was so demeaning. And I remember sitting on the side of my bed, it was early in the morning, and crying. I remember I was talking to Eric, I don't want to go to work. And I was like, I mean, I was crying because I didn't want to go to work because I didn't want to be with that lady. And so I remember him speaking to me. The Lord spoke to me. He was saying, it was like, this is a test. Are you going to pass the test? And I was like, ooh, I want to pass this test. I want to pass this test. So I don't have to be here anymore. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, maybe it's just me, you know. And so I went to this other kitchen, and I began to, you know, talk about my experience at that kitchen. And it was at least two other people that had the same kind of experience that I had. So I knew it wasn't, you know, me, but it was the person. And the thing that I remember about that was, she had made some rolls. The kitchen, the refrigerator was really full. And she wanted me to put these rolls away. So I couldn't find any place except, or just food away. And her rolls were in the refrigerator. And so I put this stuff on top of her rolls. And she was really upset about that. And then she began to, like, you know, berate me in front of people. And it was like, you know, that was not right. She could have took me in the office and, you know, she could have told me, you know, I didn't like what you did and stuff like that. But she did this to this man. And he had a really gentle kind of spirit. But after she talked to him, he started cussing and everything. I said, wow, took him out of all kind of character. Let me see, talking about labor. So in our labor, we have to think that we are laboring and working for God. And sometimes the situations that God puts us in are not pleasant, but we're there to learn something, we're there to experience something, and it's for His glory. The word come means urging and calling us here. Come now. It's imperative, absolutely necessary that we come to Jesus. We all need to come to Jesus no matter what situation that we're facing. We need to be urgent in coming to Him before we do anything else. And then it talks about, come to me, ye who labor. And so some of our labor can be weary, exhausting, worrisome. But the labor that God has for us is invigorating. I'm going to make some comparison in just a minute. But these are just the definitions. Heavy laden, load up, overburdened. He wants to give us rest. He wants us to be refreshed. And he also wants us to cease from movement or labor in order to recover and collect our strength. I was listening to this little short clip, and this preacher, he was talking about how in the Ten Commandments, it was talking about rest, and how a lot of times we just go through life, just, you know, going through life, going through the motions, but what we really need to do is take a time of rest for the next part, you know, because there are things that God wants to maybe even speak to us about, but we're too busy, and but if we take that time to rest, he can direct our steps. He can give us, you know, refresh us in our body, in our spirit, in our mind, so that we can go to the next part or the next phase of our journey. Take. Raise up, elevate, take upon oneself, and carry. So he wants us to take his yoke, which is like a yoke of oxen there. They have a yoke around them. So if you think about yourself, you being yoked to Jesus, he's walking with you. And so if he's walking with you, the burden isn't as heavy as if you were walking by yourself. So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, okay? And so it's our responsibility to learn of him, to increase our knowledge, to hear, to be informed, to practice, to be in the habit of acquiring information or skill, study, absorb. So when we are learning of God, just like when we have our daily bread, we're learning of God when we read the daily bread. When we study the word, we're learning of him. When we hear the word, we're learning of him. When we speak the word, we're learning of him. Amen. And when we practice the word, we're learning of him. We're learning how to walk like he walked. Amen. We're learning how to talk like he talked and do the things that he did. And then he said, I'm meek, gentle, humble, mild disposition of spirit, wholly relying upon God rather than our own strength. So when we take God's yoke upon us, we are not relying upon our own strength, but we're relying upon God's strength. And then we have to have humility. That's what Jaziel, that's what he exhibited. He exhibited humility. Because he could have lashed out, but he humbled himself. He listened. And so that's what we need to do. We need to humble ourselves, even though people may come against us in the wrong way or treat us wrong. Heart, thoughts or feelings, the center or seat of spiritual or physical life, passions, desires, appetites, affecting purposes, endeavors, or emotions. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Find means to obtain, discover, understand, to know God, to find out for oneself. And then rest, to cease from motion. Easy, for my burden is easy, better, good, gracious, kind, useful, virtuous, pleasant. Burden, task, service, load, or something carried. And so the Lord began to kind of show me how the world system, as far as labor is concerned, and then God's kingdom. When we labor. Basically, the world system wants to enslave people and nations. And some of the things that the world system uses to enslave people are pharmaceuticals, social media, sometimes resources and lands. They just want things for themselves. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not for the good of people, but it's like, you know, greed, racism, division, darkness. That's part of the world system. But God's system is a system where he wants men to be free. There is a system of truth, God's principles. When we walk in God's principles, we can have freedom. When we walk in God's word, we can be free. And I was thinking about Abraham and how God said that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So our foundation is in Christ. God has all the resources that we need, and he's calling every nation to himself. The world system is just for a certain group of people, but God's system is for everybody, and he has gifts for us. He has the gifts of the Spirit. He has the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm just going to share just some scriptures, and I'm going to break this down into three lessons. Yeah, just three lessons, but this is the first one, labor. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for soon it is cut off and we fly away. So what are we laboring for? Well, when you get my age, you kind of think about, you know, how many more years do I have? And I was listening to this story, and it's called 1,000 Marbles. And in this story, this man is talking to someone on a, what do they call it, a shortwave radio. And he was talking about how when he was 54 years old, he thought about, you know, how the Bible talks about, you know, a man's days is probably about 70 years. And so he started adding up, you know, from the age he was to when he would be 70 years old. And so when he did that, it was a thousand marbles, okay? And so what he did is he went to all these department stores or whatever and got all these marbles and got 1,000 marbles. And he put them in a jar, and every Saturday, he would take out a marble. And so when he was telling his story, he was saying to this person, he said, I'm gonna go in the house, and I'm gonna take my wife to breakfast, because this is my last marble. And so it just reminded me of, you know, time, that our time, what does it say, is but a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. So what are we doing in the time that God has given us? What are we laboring for? Are we laboring for riches? Man goeth forth unto his work, into his labor, until the evening. Psalms 104:23. Psalms 107:11-14. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury. So in that scripture, it's like, you know, we can say that we're going to do this or we're going to do that, but it's really just talk until we actually do it, until we actually put the work into action. We're just talking. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle towards heaven. So I've learned that money comes and money goes. Money comes, money goes. Isaiah 55:1-3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So in this passage, I think about, he says, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money. And I always think about the Holy Ghost, because it's a free gift. It's a free gift. The milk is the Word of God. We don't have to pay for it. And then it says, where do you spend money for that which is not bread? So what are we spending our time doing that is not bread, that is not satisfying, that is not fulfilling? Because we can do things in our life, but they're not fulfilling. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when we're laboring in the kingdom of God, that could be witnessing to somebody. That could be teaching a Bible study. That could be just, you know, speaking to somebody about the Lord. We have a praise team. They're laboring for God. We have teachers. They're laboring for God. We have ministers. They're laboring for God. So there is something for each and every one of us to do in the kingdom of God and to build the house of God. I'm thinking about, like I said before, it's funny how when God gives you something, he begins to, you know, plant things in your heart or let you know that you are on the right track. So, I was watching a movie. It was called A House of Our Own. And this woman had 6 kids, and her husband had died. They lived in California, and it was maybe during the 1950s, early 60s, something like that. But she had on her refrigerator this house. And what she did was she took all the money that she had, she packed her kids up in the car, and she said, we're going to go get us a house. And so she traveled from California to, I believe, they ended up in Idaho. And so when she's driving down this kind of like, not dirt road, but she saw this house. Now, if you saw this house, it was like a shack. There was a door on it. You can tell that people were trying to, you know, complete this house, but they never did finish. And so what happens is she opens up the door, and there's no walls, nothing. And so she goes across the street and she talks to this man. She says, I don't have any money, but I have my hands, I have my kids. We need a house. So would you let us live in this house? And so this man said, okay. Now, mind you, they came there with nothing. The house is really, just like I said, didn't have any walls in it. It had maybe a roof. And so they're all working. She gets a job at a bowling alley. And then her kids, and they're the ages between, I would say, the oldest was maybe 14 and down to like maybe 4 or 5. But anyway, long story short, they take everything. They don't even have plumbing. And I remember in part of this movie, the boy, her son, he's on the school bus and he sees this junkyard. And he's just so excited about his junkyard. And he goes to the junkyard and he tells the man, well, what can I do? What can I do to, you know, get some stuff here? And the guy said, you can work with me and you can get the stuff. And so he goes there and he gets some stuff. He gets a wagon. He pulls in this wagon and he has some stuff for the house. And so this is what I'm trying to say, they're all working together to build a house of their own. And so that's what God wants us to do. He wants us all to build the house of God together. And it's going to take everybody's effort to build a house. And we all have different kinds of talents and abilities, but we all have to have our hands in it. And I think I'm going to stop right there. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for this lesson, Father, that you gave me. I pray, Father, that we will take it to heart, Father, the message that you have put in our hearts, Father. And Lord, show us individually, Father, how that we can labor, Father, in your kingdom. Lord, your word says, with your hands, do it with your might. And so, Father, whatsoever that you would have our hands to do, whatsoever, Father, that you would have our feet to go, Father, help us to be willing to do it with our might, Father, because we are building your kingdom, Father. Lord, it's your kingdom. And so, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, for helping us to work together to build your house. In Jesus' name, amen.